Hey, everybody. You know, Mark and I have over 20 years of experience as therapists and as addicts in long-term successful recovery. We know better than anyone what works and what doesn't to break out of porn and sex addiction, heal betrayal trauma, and reclaim your relationship.
And we've poured all of our personal and professional recovery and healing experience into a first-of-its-kind program for addicts, spouses, and couples. We call it Dare to Connect.
At least four times every week, we engage with you in real time, in the trenches, giving you the knowledge and the tools to take back your life and relationship.
Whatever else you've done on your journey for healing and recovery, you've never done anything like this.
You know, Mark and I, we've made all the mistakes, so you don't have to. Don't reinvent the wheel.
We all know tomorrow never comes. Look, don't wait one more day to change. Claim your free two-week trial today at daretoconnectnow.com.
Hey, everybody. I'm Steve Moore.
And I'm Mark Castleman.
We know the pain and heartbreak of porn and sex addiction.
And we know the triumph of breaking completely free.
Every day, we help our clients find hope and healing.
Join us in the fight to take back your life, your marriage, and be stronger than ever.
This is the PBSC Squared Podcast. Hey, everybody. Steve Moore and Mark Castleman here. Welcome to the PBSC podcast. It's great to be with you guys today. We have episode 195 today, titled, What is the Difference Between Quote-Unquote Codependence and Authentic Feelings and Boundaries? This is actually a great topic. Comes to us because of a submission from a partner that recently wrote in. And it's not too long. We're going to briefly read that, and then we'll jump right into it. There's a lot to cover. It's going to be a good topic today. So here we go. I recently showed my partner the episode titled, quote, my partner's definition of porn is different from mine, unquote, with the purpose of highlighting things like priorities and the authentic self. This was prompted because my partner has not been watching explicit videos, but was on TikTok listening to an adult content creator describing the physical aspects of one of the scenes she filmed. I brought this up with him to create a boundary around things that are overtly sexual as I feel this overlaps with aspects of his porn addiction. After he listened and I asked him what he found valuable from the podcast, and he said, quote, the part about codependency, unquote, implying that my behavior was codependent because I was expressing that something made me uncomfortable and asking him to discuss possible solutions with me. So in other words, there's kind of some weird language in there, but in other words, he referenced the part about codependency and then said that stood out to him because he feels like that's what she's doing. Now, whenever I talk to him about any negative feelings I have surrounding his behaviors, he immediately says I'm being codependent. I looked through your podcast for an episode on partner codependency, but did not find one. I'm hoping you guys could discuss what the difference between codependency and feelings or boundaries are, both so I can evaluate my own actions and behaviors and so my partner can hear it defined more clearly. I am fine taking accountability for codependent behaviors, but I do not want to be in a situation where all of my feelings get labeled as codependent. Wow, there is a lot there.
Wow. Well, and as soon as we both read that, we thought, how many, I don't even know after all these years, hundreds of times, thousands of times have we heard an addict use that weaponization of the old concept of codependency. Oh, you're just codependent. Mm. We're gonna talk a little bit more about that today. But I think that the first thing that jumped out at me and Steve, I know when we talked about this before we started today, it was the first thing that jumped out at you. We want to be very, very wary of the old codependency language and model. So for decades and decades, one of the things that was often used in addiction circles, especially with the partners of addicts, was this concept that the partner was just simply codependent on the addict. And that's where all the problems were coming from with the partners of addicts. And we you and I stopped using that language a long time ago. You know, we use a betrayal trauma model now, which is very different from that old model. But it's important that people understand, you know, there's still those that hold on to that old, you know, codependency on an addict concept, which too easily shuts down discussion. And I'm going to tell you, if I'm going to be transparent today, in my deep addiction years, I often weaponized the concept and word codependent with my wife, right? Mm-hmm. You're just being codependent. You have all these feelings and all this stuff. That's just you. That's just your issue. And why did I do that? Because it was a convenient way for me as an addict to avoid the hard conversations. It was easy to just say, you're codependent. That way I didn't have to face my own issues. I didn't have to lean into her pain and sit with her as she expressed what my history had meant to her. I didn't have to be account able or response able, as we talked for two full months in Dare to Connect recently about those issues. So it's a convenient weapon and tool as an addict who wants to just avoid all of that. She says, nope, you're codependent, right? Done. End of discussion. End of my having to be open or lean into hard stuff. And so I saw that immediately.
Yeah, no, those are great points. And I would totally agree with that. And you would not be the only one that's done that, right? I mean, I think that codependency is one of those really, really difficult topics to tackle. And there are lots of ways to go about it. And as Mark indicated on Dare to Connect, we've been addressing codependency and different skill sets, tools, and things for the last couple of months. And this month, we're wrapping up kind of capstoning the whole codependency model with a really heavy, lengthy discussion about boundaries. We've been working on a lot of different things this month that I think would probably be helpful for this coupleship as we kind of talk about some ways to maybe look at this. We don't have, you know, based on the submission, the wife in this situation, the partner, indicated that she did set some sort of a boundary right around expectations for him, but she didn't tell us specifically what that was. So we can't really speak to that. But what we can do is definitely talk about some of the elements leading up to and that oftentimes play a role right in this process. And then also get into a little bit of the rules around a healthy boundary setting, which by their very definition will also help to mitigate codependency in the process of kind of navigating this and, you know, going back as this partner and this addict and all of you look at situations similar to this for you and are able to say, you know, what is going on here? Are these boundaries that we're setting, are they healthy? You know, are they involving the right components? Are they not? You know, et cetera, et cetera. So,
I thought it was really important to speak to this whole concept of why do we as addicts or guys, you know, struggling with compulsive sexual behaviors, why do we use these kind of dismissal tactics, right? When a partner is confronting us with the way our behaviors are affecting her, and we feel we throw up defensive walls, we feel uncomfortable, we get angry, we get stoic and silent, right? What does that do in the relationship? And I can tell you what happened with me and my partner. Every time she would go to speak her truth, kind of stand up and be authentic and vulnerable, and I would use these weaponization tactics to shut her down, it really had a dramatic impact on our relationship, because what happened is she then went into the place of what I call walking on eggshells. I can't say what I really mean. I can't really open up to Mark because he's going to shut me down. He's going to weaponize these things on me. And so I'm just going to stick to myself. And our connection in our relationship was heavily damaged because of that, because of my approach. Mm-hmm. Right. And yeah. So as we look at that, we say, okay, there's a difference between me as an addict in recovery. I used to approach all of those hard conversations and her bringing stuff up and speaking her truth with resistance and reactivity, right? I was resistant and reactive. Why? Because I hadn't done my own personal work in learning how to hear and lean into hard conversations. And learning to confront my ownership of the situation, my side of the street. And I'd had to decide to learn to go from resistance and reactivity to this really amazing place called transparency and proactivity, which is crucial to my individual recovery and to the coupleship. There is a big difference between resisting and reactive and being transparent and proactive when these kinds of scenarios come up.
Yeah, that's a valid point. You know, and we didn't even talk about this today, but one thing that I did want to mention as I'm just kind of reviewing the submission, the original submission that was sent in to us, is, you know, again, we don't know what boundaries were set here by this partner with this addict partner. But what we can say is, you know, the initial issue that that she brought up was, you know, her husband was watching, he wasn't watching explicit videos, at least from a visual standpoint, but was listening to an adult content creator describing the physical aspects of one of the scenes she filmed, right? Mm. We have other podcasts that cover this more in depth, and so we'd encourage any who have questions about this to go and look those up. You can do a search for those on wherever you listen to our podcast from, and look up some keywords about, you know, pornography and definitions and things. But one of the podcasts I know that we've talked about is where we kind of did a deep dive on the definition of what pornography is. And the really simple kind of takeaway from that is pornography can be anything in the environment that elicits some sort of a sexual arousal component.
Yep. Right?
Obviously in a non-connecting, disconnecting, synthetic, you know, oftentimes with a nefarious intent. So I, for example, when we think about pornography, oftentimes we usually are thinking about, you know, a video or a video clip or images or something along those lines. I'll be really transparent. Some of the pornography that I used to use to get around that definition would be audio
pornography. Oh yeah.
Right. Or I, for example, would go to a streaming service and would spend sometimes hours reading the descriptions of various movies and different media that I knew were going to be sexually triggering for me.
Yeah.
Right. The list can just go on and on. But the long and short of that is that defining pornography as simply explicit visual content is a very, very narrow-minded approach and does not by any means encompass everything that intends. Anything in an environment can potentially be pornographic. A sexual experience with a partner has the potential to even do that. And we don't have the time to go into that. And again, we'd encourage you to go listen to those podcasts, but just want to throw that out there as part of this discussion as well.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Because that is important to just even note right out the gate. Based on what we're hearing here, this definitely would fall into the definition of pornography for as far as Mark and I are concerned.
Yeah.
But kind of shifting gears and heading back, sorry, just wanted to throw that in there. As we look at this, a model for, you know, how to hold boundaries, how to create healthy expectations. This week, in fact, we're kind of wrapping up, we have a 5-step model that we use with our clients for how to go through and concretely set boundaries. It's a model that Mark and I have created that kind of walks people through what is usually a pretty nebulous process. We don't have time or the capacity to share that here, that we'd love for you to come and join us on Dare to Connect so you can learn more about that. But what we would say is that one thing we did want to cover is some other stuff that we have provided for DDC members, and just kind of give you a little bit of a taste of that. One of the things that we offer with the Dare to Connect program, in addition to the 25 hours of content a month, the support groups, you know, the live content, the on-demand content, is that we provide a whole host of assignments as well as attached handouts on the various concepts that we talk about during the month.
Yeah.
And so there's a whole list of things. I think we've provided at least 10 or so minimum this month so far of different handouts and resources that way, ranging from assignments for DDC subscribers to be engaging with on the topic, both individually and as a couple, as well as actual handouts on topics, diagrams, concepts. And so we wanted to just briefly in this podcast kind of go through some of the do's, quote unquote, around what a healthy boundary looks like, because as we were looking at this, we thought that would be helpful through the lens of, you know, when we set boundaries in the right way, and when we do it through the right lens, and when we adhere to the do's that we're going to go through here in a minute, not only does that set the template for actually setting healthy boundaries, but by definition, it also roots out the codependency in the process. So it's kind of a kill two birds with one stone sort of a deal.
Well, and I guess really we could take a quick minute and say, okay, what is the difference between the correct clinical model, you know, the correct clinical concept of codependency? What's the difference between that and openly expressing authentic feelings and holding healthy boundaries, right? How do I know if I've crossed the line?
Sure. Well, and I think that there is a component of the difference between those two having to do with the expression, but the other component of that has just as much, if not more, to do with what's being asked. And I can kind of, maybe we can just give a kind of just talk about what that means here for a second. If I'm in a codependent place, codependency in its purest form, as we talk about on here, looks like the following, quote, I'm okay if you're okay. Mm-hmm. And that phrase kind of refers to the idea that, again, codependency happens on a spectrum. It always isn't this obvious, but in some form or fashion, when I'm codependent on someone or something for something, I become either emotionally, mentally, spiritually, or maybe in other ways attached to that other person or thing. And where I stand with that other person or thing, or how they are doing or not doing, in many ways becomes an emotional, spiritual, mental self-worth barometer for me, right? Mm. So in other words, I'm taking my emotional serenity, my emotional well-being, and I'm, if you wanted a visual for this, I'm handing it to someone or something else and saying, hey, tell me what this is worth, right? Define this for me. You know, tell me if I can be happy right now. Tell me that it's okay to be happy, or that I should be happy or not happy, or sad, or whatever the case may be. Healthy boundary, and so that would be kind of through the lens of what that looks like. Oftentimes when we engage in a codependent relationship, for example, those things also are denoted by oftentimes a lack of transparency. Usually when we're caught in a codependent place, we engage in a variety of drama triangle based tactics, right? So that would involve everything from playing the victim to passive aggressive bids for connection, where we're not actually stating our needs authentically. We use tools like guilt or shame as a way to manipulate a scenario to get what we're wanting rather than transparently and vulnerably asking for it or stating our needs, right? So there's a lot of subversiveness, whether it's conscious or not, involved in a codependent model, usually, as opposed to when we have healthy boundaries and we take the time to set them. A big part of that is a transparent, vulnerable expression of them to the other person, right? The other element that would distinguish healthy boundaries from this kind of codependent place would be that there's a very clear and accurate definition between whose responsibility, or where does responsibility lie for what parts of a given scenario or a given need between both parties.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a very clear definition between, hey, here are the things that I'm needing from you, and here's what it speaks to for me. But I'm also recognizing that these, you know, in order for that boundary to be respected, it is a two-way street, and I need to be showing up in X, Y, and Z ways also.
Right? Yeah.
Whereas a codependent model, again, is kind of looking to the other person, and among whatever else it does, is it kind of is an abdication of responsibility and making, and we're implicitly or explicitly making the other thing or person responsible for these things that we have to own, right? Tell me what my self-worth is, as opposed to cultivating that in a healthy way. People who struggle with codependency around self-worth, which is totally how Steve very much used to be, I would look around to everyone else, right? And to my job and to all these other things to say, gosh, I feel like I suck inside. I don't have the tools or the ability or the desire to do the work to cultivate that self-worth internally. So I'm going to look to everyone else to provide that for me.
Yeah.
Right. As opposed to doing that and owning my process in it.
So. And the other side of it, now we want to make sure that we're not misunderstood here. It doesn't mean that if I express my anger, if I express my hurt, if I tell you openly and vulnerably that a behavior that you just engaged in, how it has impacted me, that does not mean that I am codependent. Just because I'm expressing those honest, transparent feelings. Let's not get that confused.
Absolutely.
I can express all of that transparently, authentically, honestly, and not be in a codependent place.
Absolutely. Right. It's the key with the codependency piece is not that expression, Right. Again, that's kind of where I appreciate Mark kind of reining it back in, because that's a great way of saying it's not just about the expression, right? It has just as much, if not more, to do with the what. Where is the responsibility lying? Because codependency, that's kind of its one hallmark, is it will always transfer responsibility around things that only we can control and try to do what? Give it to someone or something else, right? Yeah. These other things need to own those when they can't. Right.
And I think a clarification of everything we just said can be really well illustrated if we take you guys through these boundaries, do's and don'ts, because you'll see where healthy boundaries come in and where you can cross over into the codependent side. So let's do that right now.
Yeah, I'll go through and I'm just going to read these. Again, guys, we can't give these handouts to you. They're DDC exclusive content, but we would love to at least give you a little bit of a taste of this, and you're able to access this obviously, you know, verbally through the podcast itself. So I'll read these off. Mark and I created these quite some time ago, and this is kind of some of the foundational work that we use in the boundary stuff that we do in Dare to Connect and in other, you know, other endeavors we've got. So boundaries are always the following, okay, the do's. One, they're always an invitation given with vulnerability and clarity about both expectations as well as their attached connecting and distancing outcomes, okay? A lot of people would, instead of outcomes, oftentimes they will talk about boundaries through having attached consequences, or sometimes the very inaccurate term, punishments. Okay. Mm-hmm. Boundaries do not come with attached punishments ever if they're set in a healthy way. Boundaries are not about, and the reason why is because here's a don't for you in addition to the do's. Boundaries never are about regulating another person. Again, note what I said right at the beginning there. They're always what? They're always an invitation, right? Here are the needs that I have, and I'm going to come up with and identify those, and then I'm going to clearly express those to you as an invitation through a lens of, look, I would like to connect with you, or I'd like to have greater intimacy with you, or I'd like to have greater cohesion, or whatever the case is. And in order for me to be able to do that, here are some of the things that I need in order for that to happen, right? And so you hear this expression of attached connecting and distancing outcomes. And those obviously are dependent on whether or not other people or things are able or willing, or both, to be able to meet the needs that we have that are attached to those boundaries. Okay.
Yeah. So if I've stated my needs clearly to you as my partner, and you decide that you're not willing to meet those needs, now I have a decision to make on my side of the street with regard to my boundaries. Do I then need to distance myself from you in order for me to remain authentic and safe and true to myself? Yes. Well, I guess if you're not willing to meet that legitimate need, then we can't be together right now. Or
this is what distance may need to look like.
Or this, right? Is what distance looks like. Yeah. This is, yes. Or if you are willing to meet those needs and honor the boundary, then that will bring us closer, right? Coming together, connecting outcome.
And that kind of ties into bullet point number three. So I'll skip number two for just a second. Boundaries are always, if they're set in a healthy way, designed to protect the authenticity and integrity of whatever they're being set around, not to change the other person. Mm-hmm. So for example, when I enact a consequence or an outcome, let's say somebody is not able or willing to respect a boundary that I have, and I've taken the time to set that correctly. The thing that I'm going to be asking for as a result of that is not in any way meant to be a negative reinforcer for the other person to get them to change. It's never designed, again, to mold or shape the other person. It's about protecting my own integrity and my own authenticity. So, for example, if a spouse has a boundary around being able to be sexually intimate, for example, only if certain things are being met in the relationship, if she's doing that from a correct place, it's not from a place of, hey, you need to do these five things or I'm not going to give you the sexual doggy treat. We set these from a place of, look, in order for me to be my fullest, most authentic sexual self, I need safety. I need connection to my marriage. And these are the things that speak to those things for me. Right. And here they are, right. I need transparency around your sobriety and what you're doing or not doing. I need to, you know, I need to be experiencing some sort of regular affirmation about positive feelings that you have for me. I need to be in the loop about what you're doing or not doing for your recovery, right? All of these things come back to creating that safety or that connection for me, which then opens the door for me to be sexually safe with you.
And if you're, and if you're not willing to meet those needs, then it would not be authentic for me. It would not, I would not be true to me if I went ahead and had sex with you anyway.
Correct. It's not about me punishing you. You did a bad job, so now you're getting punished. Again, if boundaries are, in other words, guys, if boundaries are set correctly, if we do them the right way, the outcomes have very little to do with the other person or thing, only insofar as they are the other thing. They have everything to do with us, right? It always comes back to how do I maintain and protect myself, as opposed to how do I change everyone or everything around me? See, there's a huge difference between that approach. Okay. Bullet point number two, boundaries should always be set from a contemplative standpoint and set after careful contemplation and or input from trusted sources. Solid boundaries in a relationship, in other words, should never be set exclusively from a reactive place or from a place of pain. Okay. Obviously, if something happens in a relationship or our integrity is violated in some way, we are betrayed in some way or hurt by someone, that is going to prompt the need for a boundary. But setting boundaries from exclusively that place of just reactivity to the pain or wanting to avoid, or from what we call a reactionary standpoint, usually is only partially authentic and oftentimes can be problematic. So rather than being from a reactive place, they need to be contemplative. Boundaries should always have conveyable outcomes for the future, both short and long term. In other words, if my boundaries are truly authentic to me, I should be able to readily and easily vocalize what would be the anticipated outcome of this. In other words, how would holding this boundary with other people or with myself, because we hold boundaries with ourselves just as much as with others, how would holding this boundary reflect and deepen my authenticity, right? When I look at who I am, who I'm trying to become, that person I'm trying to be, not just today, but in a year, 5 years, 10 years, right? How would this boundary be able to be reflective of that? If it's not, then that's a good indicator that we may need to step back in the process, because maybe this is one of those more reactive boundaries as opposed to something that is actually authentic and true to us.
Yep. Okay? Yep.
And then the last piece of this, boundaries, healthy boundary setting always recognizes the following two rules. Okay. You can only change you is the first one. And the second, kind of tied to that, it always comes with the recognition that the other's party or person's agency is sovereign. In other words, their right to choose, their right to do things or not do things or whatever has to always be respected. If I'm setting boundaries, that's, and this is one that we hope every coupleship is listening to, because this is probably the most common error that we see clients that we work with and even seasoned professionals when they're teaching boundaries sometimes make a mistake around, is boundaries are always set through the context of I can only control and change me, right? The other person, if boundaries are to be accurate and they're to be sustainable, it has to come with that recognition that the other person has the right, whether it's good or bad, to be able to do whatever they want to do with my boundaries. And if they don't, aren't willing or able to keep those boundaries, it is my responsibility then to respond in kind to figure out what then, in the absence of those being adhered to, what I'm going to need to stay safe or authentic.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And as we talked about in Dare to Connect today, the thing that we're going for as a coupleship is I do my individual work, my individual hard work to decide what is authentic for me. What's my vision? What's true to me? What's my higher self? What's at my core center? And I determine what all of that is for me. And if my partner then does the same thing, determining all of those things individually, then we come together with that, having done that individual work, and we say, okay, I know what you need and who you are. You know what I need and who I am. Are we compatible? Can we jump in this vehicle together and go forward, helping one another evolve into our truest, highest selves and realize the vision for our lives? Can we collaborate and cooperate and be in unity to bring our individual visions and mission statements that we can bring those to fruition? Can we do that together? And you find out if you can or can't.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So guys, hopefully that gives some insight. And you can see just by going through those, how that would, by its very nature, right, help to root out codependency? Because as we're talking through those rules, notice all of the language that's being used there. Throughout all of those rules, there's a very clear delineation between my part and their part, right? Codependency roots itself and thrives on when boundaries are not present, because responsibilities and roles become blurred. And that's where codependency oftentimes comes from, is from confusion and vagueness around who's supposed to be owning what here, right?
And if we go into the place of codependency, what we give up is we give up our power. We give up our sovereignty, our independence, our power. And if we move back to the side of healthy boundaries, we are empowered. Exactly. I have the power. I decide my destiny. I decide what path I'm going forward on. Not you, me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So anyway, guys, we need to wrap up because this is, gosh, we've been getting really long on these
we're passionate.
Podcasts of late. We are. We're so passionate about these topics.
It's no wonder D2C is 25 hours a month because we can't get it all out in less time.
there's a lot to obviously cover. Guys, we hope that you found today's podcast episode helpful. As always, we so appreciate your patronage. If you have topics that you would like to have us cover briefly here on the podcast, we are always happy to entertain and look at those. We love getting submissions from you or feedback about the podcast. You can send all of the above to us at pbscpodcast.com. And as always, guys, we hope that if you found what is helpful and useful here, as we've shared a little bit about what we do in Dare to Connect, the many assignments and the resources and the handouts that we're constantly providing, creating, in addition to all the content that we give out. If you like that, please come and take a look at the free 2-week trial that we have offered for new clients who would like to take a look at that. We'd love to have you give Dare to Connect a shot, see what it's all about. You can find that free trial by signing up at daretoconnectnow.com, and it'll walk you right through the instructions. Come join us. Come see what the buzz is about. Take your recovery to another level. We'd love to have you there.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Great to be with you, and we'll catch you next time on PBSE.
Take care. Everything expressed on the PBSE podcast are the opinions of the hosts and the participants and is for informational and educational purposes only. This podcast should not be considered mental health therapy or as a substitute thereof. It is strongly recommended that you seek out the clinical guidance of an individual qualified mental health professional. If you're experiencing thoughts of suicide, self-harm, or a desire to harm others, please dial 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.